Hello, everybody, and welcome in to another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluel, and on today's show, we're welcoming back a very special guest to the program. We had him on over the summer, talked a lot about his journey in life and also his amazing sports business career, and today he's coming back to recap NFL free agency, talk about the NFL draft, and of course, delve into more about his amazing entrepreneurial career. I'm truly looking forward to today's interview as we have lots of interesting topics to talk about, but before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally. On Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. Well, this is an interview that I've been looking forward to for some time, mainly for two reasons. Now, number one, today's guest has so much inside information on NFL free agency and the NFL draft. And his opinions are so pertinent to what's going on here because he's the CEO of Sports One Marketing. He is a marketing consultant and a marketing guru in the NFL, which means he gets inside information to what goes on during free agency and during the draft. Later in the interview, we also get a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like for him when he's trying to pick new clients. What does he look for during the draft and during combines in regards to player personnel and whom he can take under his wing? It's a very in-depth conversation, and it's a topic that you don't get to hear about too often. We also touch on his journey, how did he become so successful, lose it all, then regain it all again, and finally, hear the origin story behind his amazing podcast, The Playbook. At this time, I'd like to thank you for your continued support of this podcast, and I hope you enjoy our in-depth conversation. It's now time for our special guest. In 1990, he graduated from Occidental College, playing football for all 4 years, then earned his law degree from Tulane University. Just 9 months after law school, he became a millionaire and served as a leading figure in the sports business industry. Following a downward spiral that resulted in bankruptcy, he rebuilt his enterprise by blending spirituality and business. Today, he's a best-selling author with his new book, Game Time Decisions, coming out in June. Host of The Playbook, chairman of the Unstoppable Foundation, and CEO of Sports One Marketing, please welcome David Meltzer to the show. David, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show.
So excited to be here again. It's always a pleasure to come on. Thanks for having me.
Well, to start today, David, let's take a look at the NFL and some of the blockbuster acquisitions that have been made over the past few weeks. Now, before we get into specifics, what has this period of time meant to you being an NFL agent? What goes into all of these signings and trades from a sports business perspective?
You know, I'm on the business side, so, you know, I've been blessed not to be a certified agent, but to run Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment and then Sports One Marketing. So for me, it's the busiest time of year. It's my tax season because all of the agents that I work with, they're extremely busy, and I'm an advisor, in a sense, to all of them, right? Telling them what I think of the talent, what I think of the financial side of it, what I think of the endorsement side, the marketing side, making appropriate introductions. So as a business advisor, it's an extremely important time for me because history will tell how smart I am. And like I always say, if I can just be correct 50% of the time, you know, it's like playing baseball. I'll be a superstar because there's so many variables involved, independent, dependent variables of understanding timing, money, endorsements, and marketing.
How challenging is it for you to represent your client's best interest once he moves to a new team? I mean, now you're dealing with a new general manager, a new head coach, a new environment. How does that affect your efforts in keeping your client satisfied?
Well, you know, the key is to make sure that their foundational values are all set. So understanding your client's personal values, their experiential values, their giving values and receiving values, and allowing them to have clarity about those values, how to balance those individual values, and then focus in on what's most important first, not what's seemingly urgent, but what's most important first. And when you can assist them with that, it gives them great confidence. And as long as, I always say, keep them in the flow, as long as you can keep your client confident, he's going to perform at his ultimate level, his potential. And so my goal is to let everybody consistently, every day, persistently without quit, pursue their potential without any unnecessary distractions.
David Meltzer here on Sports Talk Chicago. And David, going into some specific moves, Le'Veon Bell recently signed a 4-year, $52 million deal with the New York Jets, officially ending his holdout from last season. Now, this deal, however, ended up paying him less than what the Steelers had initially offered him. Why do you think Le'Veon settled for less money, knowing that he wanted to be paid as both running back and wide receiver?
You know, I think it's because he's more of a running back compared to Antonio Brown, where he got much more money for leaving because he knew the market and he basically utilized leverage to leave. Le'Veon lost all his leverage by not playing last year, as well as being in the position of a running back, which each year becomes less and less valuable because it's so easy to replace a running back compared to a superstar wideout or tight end. So I think he made a big mistake by sitting out last year, understanding, number one, his position, as well as, two, the marketplace.
Speaking of a change of scenery, Odell Beckham Jr. has also been on the move, being recently acquired by the Cleveland Browns in exchange for Jabril Peppers and some draft picks. Now, this was obviously a shocking move, one that many people didn't see coming. How will this trade affect the Browns and their playoff chances for next season?
Oh, I think it's going to be an incredible opportunity for Baker and the Browns to be able to have such a great target, also an experienced Super Bowl champion, as well as a marketing monster that Odell represents. So I think it was an extraordinary opportunity for the Browns, and what a great, great trade to get him.
Are you at all worried about the Browns having a rookie head coach this year and having guys who are still young? Will that be a problem for them, or do you see them doing well with this trade and then building off of last year's success?
I think the bigger problem is always the Browns front office. There's historically been a problem with the front office and how a team is run. You can see, you know, for example, the Rooneys or the Krafts, the teams that have it down really understand how to be successful. So a first-time coach has a bigger challenge, but it doesn't mean they can't be successful. But he's not going to be a Belichick, that's for sure.
Shifting gears to the upcoming NFL draft, there's a major storyline that has captured most of the attention surrounding the event, and that involves the Arizona Cardinals and their pursuit of Kyler Murray with the number one overall draft pick. Now, that's despite the fact that they just drafted Josh Rosen to be their franchise quarterback last season. What would you say to the Cardinals management team as they weigh the options in this decision?
You know, I think, number one, you have to go with value. There's always a place for a quarterback. There's always a place for two quarterbacks. Understanding the salary cap under the collective bargaining agreement, there's always options, but you got to draft the most valuable player. And by far, Kyler Murray is the most valuable player. You can always sell players, work around, trade, et cetera, but you're making a big mistake just because you have Josh Allen to not take the most valuable player. It's a big mistake that teams have made throughout the years when they already have someone at that position. Always take the most valuable player for that first pick and then deal afterwards, whether it's trading or, you know, figuring out free agents, et cetera. You always take the most valuable player off the board.
Now, despite Murray being more valuable, do you feel that Josh Rosen is still capable of being a franchise quarterback in the NFL?
I do. I think Josh absolutely has the skills, and he'll get that opportunity. You know, it's whether they take Kyler Murray or trade him up for other draft picks, you'll see both will end up being great franchise quarterbacks. They have the skills, the knowledge, and the desire, and most importantly, the processing speed to execute as long as they stay healthy.
You know, going back to the draft itself for a moment, how do you, as a sports marketing agent, effectively evaluate talent and decide whether you want to represent a certain player? I mean, what's the process for you when you vet players and look for ones that align with your agency's values?
You know, the first thing that we do is always require everyone that we work with, whether it's a player, a team, league, organization, or company, we require them to give back. And so, especially concerning players that we work with, either current or retired, if they're not willing to give back to their community to create a foundation or work with a foundation in order to do so, that's the pre-qualifier, the litmus test that we know we don't want to work with that company or player. So that's a simple qualifier that we have. If they do understand the value of giving back and they're willing to participate and to support their communities, then we know they're aligned with our values and that we have something to work with.
Has there been a time that you can recall in which you've declined to represent a talented player based on their behavior or the fact that they don't align with your values?
Oh, yeah. In fact, when I was with Lee, we fired Plexico Burris for not aligning with our values, and then he ended up shooting himself right behind that.
Wow, that's very interesting. So with something like that, where you let him go and it worked out, would you say that in that case, your values ended up prevailing?
I would say the truth always comes out, and we trust our values, especially in business. So sooner or later, the truth comes out. We know that if we stick to our values in the short term, it may not be apparent to everyone, but in the long run, we trust in the truth, in potential. We trust in doing and making the best decisions that we can based off of our values. You know, a lot of times what people don't understand, when you require people to give back to the community, it's a great indicator of loyalty. And so if someone's willing to put others before themselves and to create value before asking for value, it's a key indicator that you're going to have a long, trustful relationship. And a lot of the other agents that don't do things the way that we do, they end up wondering why they lose clients so easily because they don't go ahead and align values first. They're only interested in the money.
Moving to your personal career, I had mentioned in your bio that you were highly successful out of law school. You made millions of dollars by your early 30s, but then things took a turn for the worse. You had gone bankrupt and all of your success had faded away. So what prompted this downward spiral? And when you recovered, how did you change to make sure it didn't happen again?
You know, basically I surrounded myself with the wrong people, the wrong ideas. Most importantly, I didn't live with radical humility. I didn't ask for help. And so once I learned to surrender and to work from a humble place, to wake up every morning, pray to God that at least 10 people come in front of me that I can help, to only worry about providing value, to be a motivator, not a manipulator, the universe worked in my favor. I lived my life of favor and of value, and everything came rapidly and accurately, faster than ever. And detaching my happiness from the outcome of being rich allowed me to have all the riches, to live in a world of more than enough, to provide for others more than enough. Nothing anymore comes for me. It all comes through me for the benefit of others.
What do you say to those in the business world who continuously prioritize profits instead of fostering charity and giving back to those who need it, like those values that align with your business?
You know, it's so funny you say that because I actually do focus on profit first. You know, I believe that you can't give what you don't have. The difference is that after I figure out how to be profitable, I tie a purpose to it, one that is above me for others, as well as a passion for that. And so although people get a philanthropic understanding and passionate about what they're doing themselves a disservice if they don't try to be profitable. So I always put profit first, but then tie purpose and passion to it. I think a lot of people make the mistake that they just think I can do what I love to do. You can't do what you love to do if it doesn't pay, you know, unless you have rich parents.
And before we let you go today, David, I wanted to ask you about the Playbook, a top five iTunes business podcast. I mean, you created this less than 2 years ago, and it's grown exponentially in that time span. How have you developed it into what it is today? And also, who's the best guest you've had on the show?
Well, it's developed by understanding what the Playbook was all about, and that was taking the relationship capital, the access that I have to extraordinary people that carry the spirit of excellence, and being able to ask them not about their on-field exploits, not about their in-the-boardroom exploits, but more, how did you get here? What's your playbook to success, to happiness? What does happiness mean? And when we got to that matter, from the very start with the biggest names in sports and business, it resonated with people, and they started to see and become motivated by the similarities and differences that exist between those who have had tremendous success and notoriety and happiness, fulfillment, and purposeful living compared to those who live and put faith in what they don't have, with shortages, voids, obstacles, and scarcity. My favorite guest, that's a really hard question, because I look at the list of people. When you've sat with Maria Sharapova, Danica Patrick, Ray Lewis, Tony Hawk, you know, just on that side, and then guys like Chip Wilson, the founder of Lululemon, and Howard Behar, one of the founders of Starbucks, and, you know, I'm just so blessed to be around Michael Chandler in the MMA, you name it, surfing, skating, Apollo Ohno. It's so, so difficult. I will say I've learned the most from a podcast from the CEO of On It, which is Aubrey Marcus. He seemed to have, and it was the biggest surprise because I really didn't know too much about him. He really had a handle on the combination of conscious, subconscious, and unconscious living. Huge business success that he is. But I felt in that interview I learned the most. Ray Lewis was one of the most enjoyable ones. I've never felt so inspired and scared at the same time during an interview.
Well, David, thank you so much for being here on the show. Always a pleasure having you on, and hope to have you on again in the future.
Anytime, John. Thank you so much. Love Chicago and love to help any way I can. You can follow me at David Meltzer.
What an honor it was to have David Meltzer on today's show as we talked with him about the NFL draft, NFL free agency, plus his amazing sports business and entrepreneurial career. And what I truly appreciate about David is that, of course, as he mentioned, he's in business to make money, to make profits, but at the same time, he focuses on missions that mean something and help out lots of people. And I think that this philosophy can be summed up by Sports One Marketing's slogan, which is, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. And I know that David exudes that type of energy when you listen to him talk, when you watch his YouTube videos, or heard him on today's show, which is why I truly enjoy his presence, and I also enjoy his insights on the NFL draft and the NFL free agency period. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to check out my new radio show every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago. You'll still hear my same hard-hitting Chicago sports opinions. Plus, we'll cover national sports issues, introduce special segments, and of course, welcome special guests on every show. Again, that's every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHBK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.